Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Some scientists predict the sea will rise 1.5 meters before 2100, but rapidly melting polar ice caps could make the real amount much higher. In the coming century, intensifying storms will batter our coast, and droughts and heat events will be annual threats. All this will occur as population grows and declining water resources really have such an effect on agriculture. What will happen when the United States cannot provide food or fresh water for the overheated, overcrowded cities where 80% of Americans currently live? These are all issues and questions brought forth in the new book, American Exodus. Giles Slade argues that we are entering a long period of global desperation, which will be characterized by human migration on an unprecedented scale. Giles is an award-winning author of Made to Break and The Big Disconnect, and he joins us on the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Joe.
It's nice to have you with us. Give us a sense. Well, let's face it. This is a bummer of a topic, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is, and I wouldn't have started researching it if I didn't have children and was concerned about their future, and I guess the deeper I got into it, the more I realized people needed to know about it.
What do you think... And I'm curious, in having read the book, I'm curious as to why it seems to me that so much of the information that comes out is dire. But what you're looking at here on this book is our reaction to it and this migration that seems to be cause and effect, and that is one of those things that we kind of have to be tapped on the shoulder to notice.
Right. I guess I traditionally look at woods more than I look at trees. You know, the trees sort of strike me, and then I see this kind of pattern. You know, that's what I wrote about in the other two books. Very simply, you know, the carrying capacity, the habitability of North America is going to be radically reduced over the next, 20 or 30 years. And of course, that's going to squeeze our population. The population's already being squeezed out of Mexico into the United States, and as it gets hotter, drier, and less habitable, it will be squeezed again, and people will move into Canada, which is colder and wetter.
When you think of this migration, have we already seen major signs of it?
I think so. I think the the economic collapse that has happened in Mexico after 1982. Is at least 50% an environmental collapse. I think the continent is heating up. The northern states of Mexico have dehydrated, so there's no longer the option of subsistence farming. And all these hungry, thirsty people came into the United States looking for work and food and a way of life. And so 25 million of the 110 million Mexicans now live, eat, work, and sleep in the United States.
So the way you describe it in the book is basically what we're doing, subconsciously, unconsciously, is moving to higher ground, right?
Yeah, migration, I guess, is the most common response of all living things to climate change. Songbirds in the United States have already moved 300 to 400 miles north since 1996. So we're doing exactly the same thing. And now, these days, you can find robins in Tuktoyaktuk, which is on the Arctic Ocean, for your American audience. The local residents don't know what the hell they are, so the journalists are writing, stories about them saying these little red birds are, in fact, robins from the south. And there are also lobsters along the coast of Labrador where there was not much, it was very cold, but it's not very cold anymore, So these things are almost everything is moving north, and we are too. There's a lot of Americans who've come to Canada in recent years, both for work and I guess because they see it as a brighter future, and it's more Americans than have ever come to Canada before.
And you include Russia in this as well.
Yeah, and Russia is actually making provisions for this. They realize that there's a distinct possibility that the people will be moving towards the Arctic Circle, and they've started to build the infrastructure. They're, in a sense, in a much better position because, in a totalitarian country, you can do almost anything you want.
Do you think it will become a rush? I mean, we're seeing sort of a trickle now. Do you think it's going to be a steady flow at some point?
Oh, yes. I don't see the political will developing anytime soon to do what we have to do to decrease climate change. And even if we begin this process, you know, there's a 20 or 30-year lag period. So people individually are going to start looking for a way to gain a window for themselves and their children. And of course, the best window is movement.
You bring this to a dollar and cents issue in that places like New York, places like the Northeast all along the coast, simply if they have more and more of these storms, don't have the money to come out of them. So if you have something like Superstorm Sandy and you have one of them, okay, we can do what we have to do if we have to do it. But if you have two, three, four, then we don't have the money to repair the infrastructure that will prevent for the next storm that we suppose is inevitable?
I think is inevitable. Governor Cuomo said, you know, we're now having once-in-the-century storms every 3 years. And if, like Superstorm Sandy, they cost $80 billion each, then, you know, you'll go broke very fast rebuilding the infrastructure from them. And that $80 billion, incidentally, doesn't really reflect the human cost. I mean, it doesn't reflect damage to individuals or, you know, loss of personal property or anything like that. It's just basically rebuilding the infrastructure. It doesn't even really reflect loss of business.
So what is your time frame? What are we talking about here as far
well,
as...
I don't have, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't. And
you should get one of those.
Yeah, well,
we need you. We need you to get one of those.
I'm waiting for the after Christmas sale on Amazon.
That's right. Yeah, ask for our local retailer. Go find a crystal ball and help us out with this.
climate change tipping points have been suggested for places like Washington D.C. at 10:47. I think long before this happens, it will get very bad and very unpleasant, and people will start to realize that there's a better way of life somewhere else, and they'll be concerned about their children, they'll be concerned about their loved ones, and they'll think now's the time to go. You know, the people who are already moving, you can't really call them climate migrants because the disaster hasn't happened yet, or the major disaster hasn't happened, so they're kind of like early adopters. You know, they're like the people who left Nazi Germany, you know, in 1930, just thinking, oh, this is getting bad, I'm going to go. And but other people will follow them. So they'll begin what's called a chain migration, and other people will use them to help themselves relocate when things get desperate. And I'm imagining that, you know, within the next 20 years, there'll be a much huger sort of influx of Americans into Canada. And this is something we should have a conversation about now because, you know, Canadians are not enthusiastic about this.
Talk a little bit about that, about you live on the west coast of Canada, and you are certainly one of the foremost environmental voices in the country. And I'm interested in what the vibe is of that, you know, people will be coming north as somewhat of a promised land, but how that will screw things up for you all.
Well, there's 35 million Canadians and 350 million Americans. I don't know how many are coming, but you know, at the time of the Dust Bowl, 2.5 million people left the plains in the decade between 1930 and 1940. So even that number would just crack our infrastructure in half, you know, break all our social programs. And so although we haven't even started imagining this, the CIA and the NSA have a think tank that you know, have prepared scenarios for this. But in Canada, you know, it's a distant fiction. And I'm sure you must be aware, if you cross the border, there's this kind of knee-jerk anti-Americanism that... In Canada, that, you know, affects 20 or 30% of the population, I think. And when I present this book in Canada, people say, "Well, God, that's terrible. How are we going to stop this?" And I don't think there's any way we can stop it, of course.
How much do you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but how much do you think we live up to that reputation in America? I mean, how evil are we really?
You know, I was educated in the United States. You know, the generous people of California gave me my education. I can't say, you know, good enough things about you. You know, but it's a much, your country is a much broader spectrum than Canada. You have to understand that we're not a very generous or very large people. You are a very generous and a very large people, and you're following this you know, this myth of yourselves that. We don't have anything like in Canada, so you know, we don't get the best and we don't get the worst. We get this kind of bland, sort of middle road that you know, is punctuated by hockey. And,
so, sort of a cultural, a cultural purgatory, if you will.
It's a beautiful place, but you know, we have to send all our comedians south to the United States. We have to send our funniest, most interesting people. It's true.
That's absolutely true. So it's sort of a cultural purgatory. You're kind of there. Just in the waiting room, if you will. Yeah.
But it's a lovely spot.
Absolutely. But I cannot see, I think, but I understand, I thought the numbers you used, what did you say, like 20% of the people sort of get this, right, in Canada, that this is something of concern? Is that the term you used, or the number you used?
You know, we've been, I guess, aware of climate change and accepting the fact of climate change for a lot longer than America has. And I think things have changed radically in the United States since 2009. I think now 70% of Americans believe that there's something wrong with the climate, and we did it. And that's up from 30% in 2009 when, you know, I couldn't interest a publisher in this book, and I just sort of sat in a room, kind of like Thelonious Monk, you know, and just doing it by myself because I had to do it.
Right.
But no one seems, there doesn't seem to be a political will to do anything about it, and I think that has to do with, you know, the immense expense of getting prepared for this. And if no political will can be created, then we're back to, you know, acting for ourselves and moving for ourselves. And so this book is really about, you know, how to use this window to protect your family and where best to go.
I mean, we're out of time, but I mean, obviously the big issue is that, as you say, that second, third, fourth, fifth storm that comes up and we're not ready for the infrastructure. I mean, that's when we'll start saying, oh, God, we have to do something.
And then, you know, in the Southwest, there's been this massive drought since 2008, and it will just continue. And before 2008, you know, there was this influx of migration because the economies of the Southwest Texas, you know, were very healthy. And so there's a lot of people there, and suddenly they don't have very much water, and they'll have to move too. And then in the Midwest, there's riverine flooding every spring now, and that's getting very expensive. I think it was, $2 billion in Colorado for the flood, and we have that in Canada too. I think last spring there was a flood that cost $1.7 billion in Calgary. That's Canadian dollars, of course. So slightly cheaper in Canada. But
this is a fascinating book. You write very convincingly and beautifully about these issues. And the name of the book is American Exodus. And Giles Slate, I thank you very much for sharing this information with us. And I hope you have a pleasant and lovely holiday.
Joe, it's an honor.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you being with us. Again, the name of the new book is American Exodus. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.